you're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and said they were suckers. They wanted me for their army or whatever.
Welcome back to From the Press Box to Press Row. You can join us on the program. Hit me up via Twitter at Box to Row, BoxToRow, or on Facebook, BOX, the number 2ROW. And with the rash of not only protests, there has been sort of a resurgence, a renewed energy in terms of black power, in terms of even more specifically HBCUs. I don't think, we're seeing some HBCU or some former FBS players that are making moves to HBCUs. You look at CJ Bowler, wide receiver out of Vanderbilt, who put up some pretty nice numbers, especially as a freshman, now is going to Alcorn State, where Alcorn State definitely needs some receivers, losing the likes of Chris Blair and others. So that's going to be a good move for Alcorn State, no question about that. And but, you know, I'm seeing where there's been some talk perhaps of now where things are. There's been a lot of questions asked. Well, why don't we've always asked this question. I mean, I can remember asking the same question, doing a piece back in 1998 when I was a student at Morgan State. Why don't more black athletes go to HBCUs? Will we see a lot of black athletes start to go to HBCUs? More specifically in football, I think, because football is HBCU football is a different dynamic. When you look at basketball, it is all at the Division I level. So there's no FBS and FCS. It's all Division I, although they're going to separate it and call, you know, it'd be a Power Five conferences and mid-majors and all of that. But it's all Division I. But I'm talking about more specifically from, and I mean, you know, we can talk about basketball also. I mean, we can talk about basketball also, because you're seeing a lot. I mean, I think with basketball, you're seeing a lot of movement, generally speaking. You're seeing a lot of guys that are transferring. I mean, look at Howard. Look at Howard's program in the last 3 years. Howard has had some top basketball players that have transferred to bigger schools to play. We're seeing just a lot of movement in general. Guys graduate, and then they opt to play their graduate season at another institution without having to sit out, because the whole deal with the NCAA is that it wants players to graduate. And what's part of the incentive for players for players graduating is to be able to, if you still want to continue to play basketball, maybe you're not either happy in the situation you're in, perhaps you want to move to another situation, a situation that will generate better exposure for you, then you, after you graduate, you can move. And you don't have to sit out a year, which is the penalty if you move from one division, and in this case, Division I institution, to another. The penalty is that you have to sit out for 1 year. But we're seeing we're seeing HBCU players leave to go to other schools. We're seeing players leave other institutions to go to HBCUs, and I'm talking specifically about basketball. Football-wise, though, it's always, you know, generally speaking, but with respect to football, why don't more black athletes specifically go to HBCUs? There's so many answers or potential answers to that question. What HBCUs in their current form do not offer is an opportunity to play at the FBS level. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, to be honest with you, because outside of the Power Five conferences and perhaps the AAC, I mean, you have other, you know, you have, I mean, I think the Sun Belt is sort of a conference that's an FBS conference that's on the rise. You have some other conferences that are decent, that are FBS programs that are not, or FBS conferences that are not Power Five conferences. But I mean, at the end of the day, that FBS football, or at the FBS level, offers more exposure. I would argue, however, depends on the conference. I think when you look at the SWAC and you look at the MEAC and SWAC have good television packages and good relationships with ESPN that lends to better exposure. So it's not necessarily a more exposure thing. I think just from an FBS perspective. Now, if you're talking Power Five, you're talking the, you know, the SEC, or you're talking the Big Ten, or you're talking the Pac-12, not necessarily the Pac-12, but the Big Ten, the SEC. I mean, you're talking about big, and I'm talking more specifically Power Five, big time college football. It's harder to get some of those players that can play at those institutions to go to the HBCUs for the reasons that I mentioned: better exposure, better TV packages on TV every week, big time football, coverage is better, or I shouldn't say better, but there's more coverage, et cetera, et cetera. Though that may be one reason. There may also be a reason, although I think at least the awareness of HBCUs, you're going to start to really, especially in the light of George Floyd being killed, there's going to be more of a movement towards maybe not black unity, buying black, supporting black. So there's going to be more of a movement, I think, there. So you may have some of that. I think where, you know, we lost a lot of our HBCU or a lot of black players going to the HBCUs because a lot of, I think, a lot of the parents of these prospective college athletes lost perspective on what HBCUs mean and have meant to us as black people. And I think that is unfortunate. But again, part of it is that, because at the same time, you're still looking at some of these black players that are going to FCS, to non-HBCU FCS institutions as well. So I think we've lost some of that. Why not this? What's the prospect of some of our schools starting an FBS conference to play FBS football? We saw Florida A&M try to do this going back to 2004. Just, you know, when you start to make these kind of moves, especially if you're a black institution, you have to make sure that your house is clean, because they're going to come looking for any reason not for you to allow you to do that. And that's precisely what happened to Florida A&M. Matter of fact, it made that move. The provisional move to FBS had an FBS schedule, still playing, you know, some of the FCS programs and even some of the MEAC programs. A lot of NCAA sanctions, stuff that had happened a while back, came out. And if I'm not mistaken, none of it related to football, which I think was key. But ultimately, Florida A&M had to come back to the MEAC, But why not form a super conference? What's the possibility of forming a super conference with some of your tougher schools, the ones in football, but the ones that are the biggest schools or the bigger schools that have that following? See, you can say what you want. We can talk HBCU athletics all day, all of that. At the end of the day, the biggest interest in HBCU athletics is in HBCU football. You can say what you want. You can talk about all the other sports. You can talk about fairness and all that. It's not fair. At the end of the day, the biggest interest comes from HBCU football, and we can see that. You can look at some classic games. You can look at the Magic City Classic, 70,000. You can look at the Florida Classic. You can look at the Bayou Classic. You can look at the State Fair Classic. You can look at the Southern Heritage Classic. There's so many different classics that you can look at, but not only that, you can look at the support of the institutions or some of the institutions outside of classics. Look at the support that Jackson State gets both at home and on the road. Look at the support that Southern gets at home and on the road. Those are just a couple of the schools. I think, again, going back to Florida A&M's move now to the SWAC, I think it's a good move because Florida A&M's gonna bring a crowd, but even more importantly, a lot of those, you know, Jackson State, Southern is gonna bring a great crowd to Bragg Stadium also. Why couldn't you have, like a Florida A&M, North Carolina A&T. I mean, I realize A&T has made, you know, its move now to the Big South, a lot of that having to do with saving money on budgets, travel, et cetera, student athlete welfare. But let's just take A&T just for the sake of argument at this point. Florida A&M, A&T, Jackson State, Southern, right? Alcorn State has had a lot of success. And by the way, Alcorn State travels well. I mean, that would be five institutions right there. You know, I don't, you know, from a financial standpoint, and I'm also looking at this financially as well, because you have some institutions that are just not in the position from a financial standpoint to make a move. But right now I'm talking football, and I'm talking about the programs that are big enough that have won in that support. Perhaps Alabama State. Is Alabama State there? Is Alabama State one of the schools that could be part of this? I look at Alabama State going back a couple of years ago. There was a gentleman that was going to give Alabama State a boatload of money. I think it was like $64 million or something like that for Alabama State to make the move from FCS to FBS. That was something that happened a long time ago. I don't know if a lot of people remember that. But some of your schools that have had a lot of success, you know, remember about a couple of months ago, I talked about the article that was in USA Today that talked about the institutions that make the most money. I talked, and from a revenue standpoint, I talked about some of the schools that total revenues were good, but the total expenses not so much. But then there were some schools where the total revenues were good and the expenses were lower. So some of these schools as athletic departments were in the black. I mean, if you had six or seven schools, you could start a conference. And with the renewed energy in HBCU football, I think you could get a lot of these black athletes, top athletes. You don't just have to be black athletes. Top athletes, okay, I think where you look at black athletes just from a historical perspective to go to these institutions. I think, you know, for 10 years or 12 years, a long time, we've been ranking the top 10 HBCU recruiting classes. And generally speaking, a lot of these classes, I mean, you have a lot of these classes, especially more lately, where you're having a lot of these classes that have quite a few three-star players, some four-star players. Well, I think if you move to the FBS level, it gives you better exposure. I'm talking about creating a super conference. I think that also with respect to that, more of your better athletes, because there's going to be more exposure. There's going to be an opportunity for more revenue generation. There's going to be an opportunity for bigger TV contracts. I believe that virtually all of the FBS conferences have some form or some kind of TV contract. You look at the TV contracts of the SEC. You look at the TV contracts of the ACC. Those are big time contracts. Even though there's no other conference that has, from an FCS perspective, the contract that both the SWAC and the MEAC have with ESPN, I mean, the contract is not necessarily a great revenue generator. It's not like the schools are getting or the conferences are getting a boatload of money. I think it's a decent trade-off. I would like to, and as I've said in years past, I think that with the contracts that ESPN has, and you know, some may say, well, ESPN is doing this and has created the Celebration Bowl, and the Celebration Bowl airs on ABC and all of that. I mean, that's fine and dandy, but our schools, I think, are still worth more than what ESPN is giving them, both from the Celebration Bowl standpoint and from the TV money. All, if you want to call it that, I don't think it's a lot. I mean, but something I think is better than nothing. But I think if you go to the FBS level, now you're talking about a lot of our schools. If there is a super conference, it's going to be their schools or our schools going to be playing more FBS opponents. You'll see. But we raise the level of competition. So, you know, you'll play like an SEC school. You know, we're seeing where, you know, is it Grambling and Southern both are starting to play these SEC opponents in the future. Well, if you have the better athletes that are coming on, the athletes that are more highly regarded, four-star athletes and that type of thing, you can make it more of a competitive game. I would like to see, and what do you think, and what is the possibility of some kind of super conference as it relates to HBCUs forming six or seven schools to start? Obviously, you're going to need a lot of funding. But again, we had situations where there were donors back in the day that had super deep pockets. I think if you start to talk like this, when you start to talk like this, it piques interests of those that have money. And there are I'm not saying that just because somebody, a famous person that has a lot of money, graduated from an HBCU, that they're obligated to do something like this. But I think that a lot of people who have money that are HBCU people, that aren't HBCU people necessarily, that have a lot of money, corporate America, etc., would be willing to spend the money if you think big. If you think small, then you can expect small money. But if you think big, then you can expect, I say, for people that have money, corporations, businesses, etc., to spend bigger. We need a super conference for HBCUs that will play at the FBS level, football specifically. Your thoughts? Hit me up via Twitter at BoxTheRow, BoxTheRow, or on Facebook, BOX, the number 2, ROW.